The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. We aim to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association. Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Friday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope you're having a great morning. And if you're like me, you're looking forward to a great, great weekend. And I mentioned yesterday we had our fall festival on the 30th. And that was such a wonderful time at our church. Yesterday, lots of kids and families went out, dressed up in costumes, went out, all in good fun. Some take that and do terrible things, and it's a demonic kind of experience. But for others, it's just a fun time. I know my middle daughter, Amy, and Travis, they dressed up the boys and went out. I'm trying to remember what they dressed up as, but the boys were so excited, and Jack's 3 showed me his candy, and they just had a wonderful time. Live in a great neighborhood there in the Woodlands, and so it's very, very safe. But hope all of you were safe. And Debbie did something I didn't think it would work. We were out last night with a ministry function, and I said, what did you do for the kids that are coming by our house? She said, well, I just put out a little bowl, and I had a little note filled with candy and a little note that said, take one, please. I said, oh, that'll never work. The first person that comes is just going to take the whole thing and dump it in his or her bag. And she said, no, they don't do that. And I said, well, I think they do that. So we got home, and they didn't do it. We still had about half a bowl left of candy. And so it's my mission now to consume that. And that's not a good mission. Anyway, I want to talk today about something in the news. I like to look at the news and see what's going on and what people are talking about. Well, people are talking about Mark Cuban. Maybe you've heard about this. You know, Mark Cuban, if you live in Texas, you know who Mark Cuban is, because he was the owner of the Dallas Mavericks. Still an owner, but I think he sold a portion of it. Still is associated with the Dallas Mavericks. Made a bunch of money. He's a multi-billionaire. I think his net worth, I looked it up today, was something like $5.6 billion. Big name on Shark Tank, and seems like he's a really sharp guy, smart guy. Well, one of the things about Mark Cuban, I wrote these things down. What do you think of when you think of Mark Cuban? Well, you think of wealth. He's a billionaire. You think of basketball. He owns the Dallas Mavericks. Yeah, you think of television. He was one of the principals on Shark Tank. And you think about the fact that he hates Donald Trump. Just hates the guy. I mean, there's no love lost between Donald Trump and Mark Cuban. It's just kind of weird. But he's come out full force for Kamala Harris and one of her campaign surrogates, Mark Cuban. He was on The View yesterday. I don't ever watch The View, but I hear about The View, when clips come out and things like that. Well, he was on The View, and this is what he had to say as they were talking about the election and Donald Trump.
Donald Trump, you never see him around strong, intelligent women, ever. It's just that simple. They're intimidating to him. He doesn't like to be challenged by them. And, you know, Nikki Haley will call him on his nonsense with reproductive rights and how he sees and treats and talks about women. I mean, he just can't have her around. It wouldn't work.
I think Stormy is intelligent. I don't think that's 100%. She's very smart.
Yeah,
Stormy.
He means it's like,
he means on stage.
Yeah, power over.
Yeah, so as one commentator pointed out, it's kind of ironic. You're on The View with a bunch of women who are not known for their mental prowess, and he's talking about Donald Trump doesn't surround himself with strong, intelligent women. Well, Riley Gaines you know, Riley Gaines, who's been going after the men in female sports. She was the swimmer who got robbed because they allowed a man to swim in her event. She had something to say to Mark Cuban, and Mark Cuban has had to walk this statement that he made back and apologize to women. Well, this is what Riley Gaines had to say.
All right, let's just unpack this really quick. Just in the past week alone, Trump supporters have been called Nazis by virtually every media outlet. We have been called garbage by the sitting United States president. And now Mark Cuban has come out and said there is no such thing as a strong, intelligent female supporter of Donald Trump because they don't exist. Respectfully, Mark Cuban, you would not know a strong, intelligent female if she slapped you across the face, which you're such a beta, you might actually kind of like that. So if you are a healthcare provider, if you are a school teacher, if you are a US military member and you are a woman and a Trump supporter, then to Mark Cuban, you are stupid and weak. If this woman right here, Tulsi Gabbard, a lieutenant colonel in the US Army, if this is not a strong, intelligent woman, then what is? Actually, I already know Mark Cuban's answer. This is who Mark Cuban believes to be a strong, intelligent woman. Although we really shouldn't be too surprised that a comment like this would come out of Mark Cuban's mouth, considering that he says border czar Harris has done a good job at the southern border, which maybe we just have different ideas of what constitutes as a good job. But to me, the illegal entrance of 13,000 murderers, 16,000 rapists, and the 320,000 missing children certainly doesn't fit the bill. It doesn't seem like continually disparaging more than half the country less than a week before election day is an effective strategy to get your candidate elected. But what do I know? I'm just a stupid, weak woman.
That was Riley Gaines. Riley Gaines is a beautiful, strong woman. And in that clip, I pulled it up on X. Never noticed how blue her eyes are. They really pop. But she's a very, very beautiful woman and very smart and very, very strong in her standing up for the truth. I appreciate Riley Gaines greatly. Well, this is what Donald Trump had to say to Mark Cuban. Now, remember, those guys don't like each other. I don't know what caused the bad blood, maybe because they're really similar in their wealth. And, you know, Trump was very popular on The Apprentice, and now Mark Cuban, very popular on Shark Tank. And so I don't know, maybe they're too much alike and they vie for supremacy. But this is what Trump, I had to laugh out loud. I sent this to Tim and Jenna because I just think it's quintessential Donald Trump. The way he responds. And by the way, I mentioned to Jenna Ellis, I was going to give her a shout out today. Today's her birthday. And I'm not going to say the number, although it's low. She's a strong, intelligent woman. Now, she is not going to stand on stage with Trump anymore. But anyway, happy birthday, Jenna. And we appreciate you greatly at American Family Association, American Family Radio. So this is what Trump said in response to Mark Cuban and his comment on The View. He says, Mark Cuban, a really dumb guy who thinks he's quote unquote hot stuff, but he's absolutely nothing, is now out there saying that I don't surround myself with strong women. Actually, he's very wrong. I surround myself with the strongest of women, with the understanding that all women are great, whether strong or not strong. This guy is such a fool. He's constantly on television being critical, and only for the reason that I turned him out completely while president, because he called incessantly. I told him very pointedly, look, Mark, I've got a lot of things to do. I just can't be taking so many pointless calls from you. In any event, that affected him greatly, because he's a very insecure guy and a major loser, all in caps. Always has been and always will be. Nobody likes him, nobody respects him, and he's unattractive both inside and out. He should go back to talk about the person he was forced to support because I didn't want it, lying Kamala Harris. Also, he's got no club head speed. When I read that, I just busted out laughing. It's like, what else can I say about the guy? He's terrible, he's horrible, he's ugly, and he's a bad golfer. He's got no club head speed. Which is just, you know, it doesn't fit in anything that he's saying, but he has to throw it in there. And then he goes on to say, I may in fact be surrounded by the strongest women in the world, included heads of countries who make Mark look like a baby. All strong women and women in general should be very angry about this man's statement. That was Mark Cuban in response to what, or that was Donald Trump in response to what Mark Cuban said on The View. Now, Mark Cuban had to go and apologize for his comments. And he said this, let me see if I can find it. Cuban wrote on X, when I said this during the interview, I didn't get it out exactly the way I thought I did. So I apologize to anyone who felt slighted or upset by my response. As I said, it wasn't about Trump voters, supporters, or employees, current or former. So as Riley Gaines said, you know, just in the last week, Trump supporters have been called Nazis and fascists and garbage, and now no strong, intelligent women ever stand with Trump. You know, as Riley Gaines said, if that's your strategy to try and win an election, keep poking everybody in the eye and disparage your opponent's supporters, that's not a winning strategy. And so remember what Kamala Harris famously said to the guy who cried out when she was talking about reproductive rights. She never calls it abortion. She never calls it the brutal murder by dismemberment of the unborn, which it actually is. She calls it reproductive rights. But the man, college student, cried out, Jesus is Lord. And said, oh, you must be at the wrong rally. You're at the wrong rally because Jesus isn't welcome at our rally. Now, she didn't say that part, but that's implied. You're at the wrong rally. If Jesus is Lord, you're at the wrong rally. And so she has done much, along with President Biden, to alienate support and supporters in these last days. So all that to say, you know, who knows what's going to happen? God knows what's going to happen in this election. We can do our part. There are three things that we can do for this election. And I do believe this election is critically, vitally important to our future as a nation and as a free nation. So three things that we can do. Obviously, vote, and vote dutifully, prayerfully, biblically. We can vote. And we can poll watch, get involved with making sure that things are being done freely and fairly. And we've been seeing on social media, different people have reported, hey, there's fraud here, there's fraud there. One voting machine, I think it was in Wisconsin. Anyway, person put it on video. Every time I vote for Donald Trump, it won't let me do it. It changes the vote to Harris Walz. So you push, it's a push button type voting machine and a screen, touch screen. So you touch on Donald Trump and it adds the vote to Harris Walz. So stuff like that. Somebody that was bragging, this Haitian was bragging that I've been in the country 6 months. I'm already a citizen. I've already voted for Harris Walz at one precinct. Now I'm going to another precinct to vote again for Harris Walz. And it's just sickening. I mean, the things that are being done, just sickening. And so we can vote. We can poll watch and do our part to make sure things are free and fair. And we can pray. That is the silver bullet that every Christian has. This Sunday, I'm preaching on tearing down strongholds from 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And the Apostle Paul says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. The weapons of our warfare as believers are not of the flesh. What are the weapons that God has given us, the weapons of our warfare? Ephesians chapter 6 talks about the armor of God, and it's all defensive things. Armor is defensive. The shield of faith is there to block the fiery arrows that come from the enemy. And then it says, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then it says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And so we have offensive weapons, the weapons of our warfare, the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, and prayer. We can pray. We can call upon God, who is over all things. And the king's heart is like channels of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wishes. God is the one who brings the victory as we pray. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. And we're talking about some current events, and we're talking about the weapons of our warfare. So we're up against a break, but we'll be right back. Don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. We've been talking about the situation with Mark Cuban as he went on The View yesterday and said some things that he wished he hadn't, because he had to go back and apologize. But just to reiterate, this is what he had to say.
Donald Trump, you never see him around strong, intelligent women, ever. It's just that simple. They're intimidating to him. He doesn't like to be challenged by them. And, you know, Nikki Haley will call him on his nonsense with reproductive rights and how he sees and treats and talks about women.
She'll call him, Nikki Haley, call him out on his nonsense regarding reproductive rights. Well, reproductive rights is abortion. It's the brutal murder by dismemberment. You rip a baby apart piece by piece. Can you imagine being killed that way, where somebody just, I'm going to come after you and I'm going to rip your arm off and then rip another arm off and then a leg off and another leg off, and then I'm going to crush your skull and rip your torso from your tear your head from your body and just pull you out of the womb piece by piece. That's what they mean when they talk about reproductive rights. And you keep hearing, it's just so maddening. Yeah, I heard Kamala Harris, you know, we want the government out of the bedroom, and it's a woman's body, it's a woman's choice, my body, my choice. They just continue to bang that that lying drum. It's not your body. It's a body inside your body, and it's going to exit your body when it's fully grown in terms of being able to live outside of the womb, and it's another body. The blood is different. My body, my choice. Well, that's fine. Unless you're talking about vaccines, and then it's all of a sudden, hey, your freedom, stick it in your ear. As Arnold Schwarzenegger said in colorful language, we don't care about your freedoms. Well, wait a minute. Oh, time out. What about my body, my choice? Because that is my body when you're talking about a vaccine. But then it's who cares about your body, your choice? And so they apply it to erroneously, my body, my choice, when it comes to a baby, and it's not your body. It's a body inside your body. But when it is your body, your choice, well, you don't have a choice. You roll up your sleeve and take the shot, and that's just the way it's going to be. Now, Joe Rogan and J.D. Vance sat down for over 3 hours for his visit with the vice presidential candidate on the Trump ticket, and they talked about the vaccine. And J.D. Vance said, hey, I got vaccinated. I didn't get boosted. And he said, the second shot I took, I got more sick than I ever got with COVID. And he said, I've had COVID 5 times. So obviously not doesn't bode well for the quote unquote vaccine. You got vaccinated 2 shots and you've gotten COVID 5 times. But he said the vaccine made him much, much sicker than COVID ever did. Well, praise God that the Lord gave Debbie and me the wisdom to not get the shot, because it's being proven day by day by day that that is not a good thing, and that will cause a lot of problems in your body, and we're seeing this down the road with blood clots and myocarditis and other problems, turbo cancers that have now sprung up, if you've heard about those. So all sorts of terrible things. Well, how did I get off on that? My body, my choice. That does apply to a vaccine or some medicine you don't want to take, but it doesn't apply to abortion. And Mark Cuban, hey, he's got this nonsense regarding reproductive rights. I think I speak for most Christians when I say I would love to see Donald Trump be all in for pro-life causes and to say, hey, abortion is murder and we're against murder and we stand against that. Well, Kristi Noem, if you know who Kristi Noem is, she is the governor of South Dakota. She's a strong, beautiful woman. And she was being interviewed just recently after the Mark Cuban debacle on The View. And this is what she had to say.
Well, they like the fact that he doesn't think he's better than they are. He truly doesn't believe he's better than the average American. He's out there fighting for them. He's often told the American people that the Harris and her machine are coming after them. He's just in the way. And they're really feeling it right now. They recognize that he's been a man that for the last 7-8 years has been constantly attacked. And the fact that he can go out there and still campaign to be president of the United States and be happy and to relax and to really talk about the issues that are affecting their pocketbooks and their families. They love that. So yeah. Most of President Trump's good ideas come from him. He's always got great ideas on how to send a message to the right. American people. But his campaign team, too, I think, is figuring out who he is and how to let him shine in the best way possible.
You know, I think that's always important. I think these politicians who go all in and consultants always, always make a huge mistake doing that. You sort of alluded to the elitism that really is coming through on the Democratic side. In fact, I know, Governor, you're taking issue with those remarks from Harris surrogate Mark Cuban on The View today that President Trump, I'm paraphrasing, he's never seen him around strong, intelligent women. You've got to wonder what his classification is for strong and intelligent, because a lot of women obviously are going to take offense with that.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I rarely get offended because I recognize that politics is a full combat sport at some times. But the fact that I immediately thought of Melania, I immediately thought of Ivanka and all you know, the people that he had in leadership positions in the White House when he served, Sarah Huckabee Sanders as his press secretary. He just elevated women all the time and has always given me the opportunity to pick up the phone, call him, walk into a meeting with him and listen and to hear and to give us the opportunities to do our jobs the best that we possibly can to our ability. So I could tell from that video of Mark Cuban, he was emotional. And I think the reason he's emotional is because he's panicking. He just cannot believe that they are doing so poorly out there campaigning that they can't pull one over the American people's eyes and try to get Harris into the White House. They're just not going to, because we see that everything that she's been campaigning on is fake and a lie. And that's not what the American people want anymore.
Yeah, very insightful. Everything she's campaigning on is fake and is a lie. That was what Joe Rogan had said a couple days ago when he interviewed Donald Trump, I guess a week ago. He said, why do people like Donald Trump? Or maybe it was Tucker Carlson, but both of them agree. Donald Trump is the real deal. What you see is what you get. He says some things that are, you know, cringeworthy, but he says them. And, you know, he's not scripted. He's unscripted. He tells you what he thinks. And between the two candidates, in my opinion, he's by far the better choice. He has the experience to lead. And I think I've said on the program, you know, if you just look at it, America as a business, you have a business. You have a multi-million-dollar business. We'll shrink it down to where we can understand it better, because a multi-trillion-dollar business is hard for anybody to wrap their brain around. But you have a multi-million-dollar business. You're the owner, and you're going to hire a GM, a general manager. And it's down to two. And you have one who has a track record of turning profits in business and making lots of things successful, and the resume shows it over and over and over again. Now, it's not perfect. It's not just, you know, all victories and no defeats. He's had some defeats, but he has a proven track record of his ability to lead and to lead effectively. And then you have the other candidate who has nothing, has never led anything, never produced anything, never managed anything. And so which candidate would you choose to run your business? Well, you'd have to be a moron to say, I want the candidate that is totally unproven. And when I sat down for an interview with this candidate, I couldn't find out anything that she would do, because she just, every question was met with a word salad answer that didn't say anything. You know, that was one of the things that Joe Rogan and J.D. Vance pointed out. J.D. Vance actually said, hey, Kamala Harris is the Michael Jordan of answering questions without answering questions. He said, you're 100 words, 200 words, 500 words into the answer, and you don't know anything because she hasn't said anything. She's just turned words. She's just tossed up the word salad. It's in one sense, and he's being facetious there, but he's like, yeah, she's great at that. She never answers a question. When she was on Fox News with Bret Baier, she didn't answer one question. And I think that people in America, and I've said this many, many times, listen, run on the merits of your position. And if you can't run on the merits of your position, maybe your position stinks. And maybe your policies are terrible. But if you're going to tell me what you believe, and tell me what you think, and tell me which direction you want to go, and tell me what you would do if we give you the reins. But don't just, be coy with every question. Well, I'm not going to tell you that. I'm not going to tell you that. I'm not going to tell you the other. Trump tells you what he's going to do. And in the first go round in 2016, he said, hey, if I get elected president, I'm going to put pro-life conservative justices on the Supreme Court. And guess what? We had three pro-life conservative justices that were appointed to the Supreme Court. He did exactly what he said. You elect me president, and I'm going to move the embassy that's in Tel Aviv, Israel, and I'm going to move it to Jerusalem, because everybody knows Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. Go back to, as we get ready to hit the Christmas season just in a few weeks here. Oh, what did the wise men do? They went in Matthew 2. They went to Jerusalem and said, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. And they came to Jerusalem. Why? Because Jerusalem is the capital. It's always been the capital since David was king of all Israel and set up Jerusalem. It used to be called Jebus, Jerusalem, as his capital. The city, the Bible calls it, of the great king. Well, Trump did that. He said he was going to do it, and he did it. Now, he didn't build the wall like he said he was going to do. He didn't get to finish that. And then our government has been tearing down the wall and doing a terrible job. But by anybody's estimation, the border czar gets an F. F minus on her job with the southern border. And Mark Cuban, in my mind, loses all credibility when he tries to say that Kamala Harris has done a good job on the southern border. Well, no one agrees with that. I don't think Tim Walz agrees with that. It's just insane. You know, once you start saying just things that everyone disagrees with, everyone says, well, that's not true. You know, you go out there and you say 2 + 2 = 8. Well, everybody's like, no, it doesn't. It equals 4. If you don't know that, I'm not going to take much of what you say. And you can get blinded by the hate. He hates Donald Trump. And hatred can lead you to a lot of terrible things. Blinded, as that song says, blinded by the light. Well, you can be blinded by the hate. And it seems like that's the case with Mark Cuban. Well, we do have weapons to fight in the battle for America, because we live here in America. And as my good friend Bishop E.W. Jackson says, hey, there's nothing ungodly or anti-scriptural about loving where you live. and doing all you can to seek for the welfare of the city. Jeremiah 29, as the Lord told the captives, the exiles that went to Babylon, from Jerusalem to Babylon, hey, plant vineyards and build houses and seek for the welfare of the city in which I have planted you. Bloom where you are planted. And so our citizenship is in heaven. Yes, Philippians 3. All believers, we have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and we are strangers and aliens here on this earth. We're sojourners, as the King James would put it. But right now we're here. And as Robert Jeffress said in his election sermon, yes, our citizenship is in heaven, but we're not yet in heaven. We're here. And so we need to seek for the welfare of the city. And the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. They're divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses, for the tearing down of strongholds. We preach Jesus. We lift up Jesus. We speak the truth in love. And as we do that, as we are salt and light in a lost and dying world, and as we use the weapons that the Lord has given us, the Word of God, that's called the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and the privilege and the power of prayer. Prayer links our nothingness with God's almightiness, and we have open access to the throne room of God. He's told us in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Because we have that, let us therefore draw near with confidence, freedom to speak, boldness to speak. Let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Listen, God doesn't sit on a throne of judgment for his children. He sits on a throne of grace. He has grace. You say, what is grace? Grace, as someone once put it, grace is the desire and the power to live for the Lord. He has grace to help us in our time of need. He has mercy for us. And he is the God who is over all things and can do all things. And we call upon his name on behalf of America. Hey, when we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or a comment, I would love to hear from you. So give me a call and let's talk.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email Pastor Jeff at FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, and we've been talking about what people are talking about. The Mark Cuban thing on The View. I don't know how many people watch The View, but he talked about Trump not surrounding himself with strong, intelligent women, as he's surrounded by women who are not very intelligent on The View. And I like what Elon Musk says. He said, he calls wokeness a mind virus. It just kind of rots away your brain. And it really fits in, if you think about it, fits in with what the Lord says in Romans chapter 1, where he gives people over, people who reject God. They don't want to retain God in their knowledge. Even though they knew about God, they did not honor him as God or give him thanks, and their foolish heart was darkened. And it says three times that God gave them over. He gave them over to sexual immorality, as a society gives you over to sexual immorality. We have seen that. Then he gives you over to homosexual immorality. We have seen that. Then he gives you over, thirdly, to a reprobate mind, a mind that doesn't function anymore. A mind that can't put things together. And as somebody said, with this idea of we need to have a misinformation czar, Elon Musk said himself, anybody that starts talking to you about misinformation is giving you misinformation. But don't let the government commandeer free speech because they say they want to eliminate misinformation, when they're the ones telling us that a man can become a woman and a woman can become a man. They are people with a reprobate mind. Their minds no longer function. They have been infected by the mind virus of wokeism, and it has destroyed their ability to rationally look at situations and things. And so we need to be aware of that. And Mark Cuban is one who is supporting Kamala Harris, as Trump says. Trump didn't want his support, and so Cuban felt rebuffed, and that's what caused the rift. And who knows why they don't like each other, but they obviously don't. And so Cuban said the things that he said, and now he wishes he hadn't, as he's gotten so much blowback. But we've been talking about that, and the phone lines are open. I'll talk to you about anything that's on your heart and mind. The number to call is 888-589-8840. And we have Sarah on the line from Virginia. Sarah, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, thank you, Pastor Shreve. And I just wanted to first say thank you for taking calls, and not a lot of radio shows are doing that anymore, so I appreciate that. And then the comment I had is on Harris's rejection of Jesus at her rally. The Trump campaign has done the exact opposite. First of all, they started with the RNC, where Trump invited two pastors to speak. One of them was Pastor Sewell from Detroit, I believe, and the other was Franklin Graham, and they both named the name of Jesus, and Franklin Graham preached the gospel. And then J.D. Vance was at a rally, and somebody yelled, "Jesus is King," and he said, "Yes, that's right, Jesus is King." And he said, "People who love Jesus are always welcome at our rallies." And then just the other day, I was skimming through the recording of the Mar-a-Lago press conference, and I was skimming through the music at the beginning, and all of a sudden, I clicked at one point, and there was Beverly Shea singing "How Great Thou Art." So... I just wanted to say that.
Yeah.
I thought that was really neat.
Yeah. Well, here's the big difference, Sarah. And I appreciate you calling in. And you have such a sweet voice. But here's the big difference. So I have stated that I don't think any of the candidates on the top of the tickets are born again believers. I don't think they understand what that means. But you have one side that seems to be very anti-God, the Bible, Jesus. You're at the wrong rally just reveals the fact that, yeah, we don't follow Jesus at all. And then she goes and speaks at a church. What hypocrisy there. But then you have the other side that's very open to that. And although Trump, in my opinion, has never humbled his heart and received Christ and has seen that he's a sinner and he's lost and he desperately needs the Savior and what that means, he's not against that. He's not anti that. And we pray for him. You know, Jesus told that one man in the Gospels, "You're not far from the kingdom." And so I think anybody who's open to hearing about Jesus and to asking questions, I know Robert Jeffress, who's a friend, pastor of First Baptist Dallas, you know, I've asked him questions about, okay, you talk to Trump a lot, you know, how does that go? And he said he's very open to hearing about Jesus. And that's a good thing. Now, it can be a bad thing if you hear and hear and hear and you don't do anything with it, you know, to the one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin, James 4:17. So, you know, just to hear truth and not respond to truth amasses judgment, because people are going to be judged based not just on the sin committed, but on the light rejected. But from the standpoint of being open to the gospel, I think the same is true with J.D. Vance, open to the gospel. You want to have people that are open and will listen. And we'll listen to people like Franklin Graham and Robert Jeffress and Jack Graham and people like that. So big difference there. Those who are anti the Bible and the truths of Scripture and morality that's detailed in Scripture versus those who are very open to it. So thanks for that, Sarah. I appreciate your comment. Now we have Ann on the line from Mississippi. Ann, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
I have my pastor I love dearly, but he just will not say anything from the pulpit about voting, and I've begged him to just via text and email, not in person. I don't know if it's because I'm a woman, but I mean, we've got 700 people with our two services, and I don't know what else to do.
Yeah. Well, Yeah, that's very disheartening. I'm glad that you talked to him about it, Anne. And I think if others that are like-minded would talk to him too and say, hey, we need you to take a stand here. I don't know why pastors are so afraid to stand up and speak up. And, you know, no doubt you can let people know, hey, you need to pray or you need to vote. It's your right and it's your duty to vote as a, you know, we the people in America, we have that privilege and that right and that duty. So you need to pray dutifully. You need to vote dutifully. You need to vote prayerfully. God, what do you want me to do? And you need to vote biblically. And you look through in the scripture. Josh Howerton, we've been playing the sermon on American Family Radio this week. Josh Howerton of Lake Point, he did a masterful job in presenting these are the issues, biblical issues that are so important in this election. And I thought it was a wonderful sermon. And so a pastor should not have any qualms about doing that, laying things out for people. You don't tell them who to vote for. You tell them this is how you go about determining which candidate is the best. Now, I had mentioned before, Anne, we have a term, a yellow dog Democrat. That's a term that's been around a long time. And that basically said for many, many years, people would vote Democrat. It didn't matter who was running on the Democrat ticket. It could be a yellow dog and they were just going to vote for them. Well, people can't do that. A Christian can't do that. You have to look and see, what does this candidate believe in? What is this platform? What are the policies? And do those line up with Scripture? Obviously, a pro abortion candidate who wants to have no restrictions on abortion, a pro LGBTQIA plus candidate who wants to allow minors to receive puberty blockers and have surgery and be mutilated and those kinds of things, open borders and amnesty for all who came in here illegally and all those things. Those are not, that's not in Scripture. No law and order. We punish the law abiders and we support the law breakers and we support looting and no bail situation if you get arrested. I mean, all those things are contrary to Scripture. And so we look at those things and we say, well, wait a minute, who's the candidate who supports this stuff? Well, obviously, it's the candidate on the left. Who's the candidate that's for law and order? Obviously, it's the candidate on the right. And, you know, a pastor should be able to stand up and say those things. And so I would just keep praying for him and keep, you know, when you have opportunity, you don't want to be a drippy faucet there, but when you have opportunity, say, Pastor, it is your responsibility as the shepherd to speak on these issues. And just pray that God would just really prick his heart there so that he would see, hey, I need to stand up and speak up for the truth. Well, thank you for calling in, Ann. I appreciate you. We have Pat on the line from Texas. Go ahead, Pat.
Hi, good morning. Good morning, Pastor Jeff. Great program today. So many wonderful programs.
Thank you.
My comment today concerns this reproductive health. That is not what this is.
Right.
But there is something that I just have not heard before that's another part of this equation, and that's the father of this unborn child. Mm-hmm. What gives the woman the right to say, my body, my choice? What about the man involved there? Does he not have a choice? And the other thing is that is so monumental to me is God made us as a family. So when you enter in marriage or you enter in this premarital sex, you're going against God's plan. But nevertheless, that is what the sexual act is for, to produce children. But beyond the children, it should last through the lifetime of the parent. So they've got it all askewed. Mm-hmm. Once you take one step away from God's promise, God's benefits, everything goes amok, does it not?
It does. You know, I've said before, Pat, because the scripture makes it clear in the book of Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and it's the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is understanding that God is God and you're not God, and we have a responsibility to worship and serve God. It's like the first button of a shirt. And when you get your first button off, I don't care how you do the rest of the buttons, it's going to be off. And that's what we see in America today, and that's obviously what we see in the Democrat Party. I mean, the first button is so off, and they're not living in the fear of the Lord at all. They don't think about the Lord. They invoke his name for a blessing, which is such a mockery, because we're going to do all these things and support all these things, God, that you say are an abomination, and yet we're going to ask you to bless it. Well, God is not going to do that, and we put ourselves in the crosshairs of judgment as we provoke God to anger. And praise the Lord that he's marvelously patient. But his patience doesn't last forever. And eventually, as Adrian Rogers masterfully said, the dam of God, the waters of God's wrath are furiously beating upon the dam of his mercy. And one day, the dam of his mercy is going to give way to the waters of his wrath. And we know that that is coming to this world. I believe that is coming to America unless we do what the Ninevites did and repent and get right. And then the Lord will bring revival like we've never seen before. So I appreciate you calling, Pat. Good comments for sure. Well, we have Sherry on the line from Illinois. Sherry, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor. Thank you for your mission, for your service to us.
Thank you.
I want to mention one thing is with your previous call. I'm not my own. I think there's 1 Corinthians 3:23 talks about that. So the statement even to say my body, it's not my, everything is God's, first of all. And the point of my call I want to make is that our country is not formed as a democracy. We like to use that word because it sounds... The fact is, we are a constitutional republic, and Satan will twist that, and he does. And so I hear people loosely refer to us as a democracy, and I think it's important to say it right, because Satan will twist it.
Yes. Very, very good. Yeah, it's a difference. It's not just majority rules, and that's what happens in America. And so, you know, like with the popular vote, you win the popular vote. Well, it's democracy, so popular vote, you win. No, we're a constitutional republic. We have an electoral college. You can win the popular vote and still lose the election because of the electoral college. We have Lynn on the line from Arkansas. Lynn, we just got about another minute. Go ahead.
I want to say really quickly, I don't know the source of this. I heard it, I think, on AFR being played. But it was Michelle Obama making a speech that sounded like it was towards men. And there were many untruths about abortion and healthcare in general that was very fear-based. And if somebody knows the source or can find that, they should listen to it.
Yeah. Did you say fear-based?
Yes.
Yeah.
Major.
Major fear-based. Yeah. Okay. Well, I appreciate that. And I've heard some clips from her as she gave a speech just recently on behalf of Kamala Harris. But pretty much everything they say, I hate to say it, but everything they say is a lie. So you have to weed through it and look for truth and expose the lies with the truth. Well, we're out of time. Thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. Go out this weekend, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and know that God will use you as his witness. I'll see you again on Monday. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.